but never forget that I made you a pastor and a teacher. And I said, all right, there you go. That's my word right there. Amen. And so I could have made myself a doctor, and nothing. Listen, my covenant daughter, Gina, she's a doctor. I'm not against that. Me and Matthew, we finished up our undergraduate degrees, and we went together. We were going to get our master's degree together, and we went to UAB, and UAB said, you need to have your college transcript sent to us in order to enroll. I was like, well, we both graduated from UAB. You got it. But they didn't work that way. So we kind of dropped that ball and never picked it up again, and I try not to live with regrets, but I enjoy learning, and I think I would have enjoyed taking my formal education further, but that's no substitute for the Lord teaching us and what he's made us. Amen. So that's on this Friday, and if you think about that, I really know in my heart that there are going to be connections made through this presentation that the Lord has ordained. If you understand addiction recovery, there tends to be two basic camps, and those are referred to different ways, but some call the secular camp, the traditional camp, the 12-step approach. And then on the other side of the aisle, in a lot of people's thinking, not mine, is you have the Christ-centered, faith-based recovery approach. And one of the things that the Lord has called me to do and others at the Foundry to do is to bridge that gap so that, you know, we don't treat those folks as the enemy. And the Lord's given me some specific things to say in the opening of my presentation that I'm very excited about. And one of them is because there will be non-believers. You understand what I'm saying? There will be non-believers. There will be people who, in that present, when I present that, again, I'm not nervous about this, but there will be people there who do not think I have any business being there, PhD or no, because again, I'm coming from an archaic approach, you know, this broken approach that in their minds. But one of the things that the Lord has instructed me to remind them is that whether they believe Jesus in Jesus or not, is that they actually have his heart for hurting people. And I'm going to explain to him that Jesus was actually murdered by a religious establishment because he actually cared for and loved the same kind of people that they're trying to care for and love. And so, but anyway, I'm excited about it. You be in prayer about that and the goodness of God. Amen. If you have not registered to vote, we're not trying to put any shame or pressure on you, but you need to. You need to vote. Responsibility, I can show it to you in the scriptures, but I'm not going to teach on all that this morning. But if you've not registered to vote, we want to encourage you to do so, and we also want to help you do that. And so Sister Cherie, would you wave your hand back there? Praise God. She has volunteered to take on this task, and in most situations she can do it from her tablet without ever even having to take you somewhere, so you could come early on a service time or stay a little bit after on a service time, and she can get you fixed up with that. So it's very, very important that you vote as a responsible citizen in this world but not of it. But the Bible says that we should pray for those who have the rule over us so that it might be well with us. People who are in authority make decisions that affect our life realities. Amen. That's the truth. So we want you to vote. And it begins with, of course, registering to do so. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, Galatians chapter 4, Galatians the fourth chapter. And I want to say one more thing about discipleship class, just reminding you that if the life you were looking for was in your comfort zone, you would have found it by now. And so coming to an additional class and service in the middle of the week may be a bit inconvenient for some of you, coming straight from work to a class that starts at 5:15 on a Wednesday, because after all, Wednesday's a long day. I understand that. Amen. My Wednesday start 5:30, just like a lot of yours. Amen. But again, we can't allow comfort and convenience to prevent us from stepping out into and putting ourselves in a position for receiving the things that Father God has for us. And so it is, discipleship is a lot of things, and one of the things that discipleship is an uncommon commitment. And so I just want to encourage you, pray about that, and come be a part of the classes this year. Praise God. All right, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all." We've broken down some of these words in the original language, and I know it's been a few weeks since we've talked about this, but if these words look strange to you, it's because they're transliterations of Greek words, and the essence of this verse is technon will continue to live as a doulos as long as he or she is nepios. Now, technon in the original language, the Greek language, is referring to someone who has been born of God, who has been born of his seed, someone who has been born again and through that new birth experience has become an adult child of God. Amen. So this is technon, and this is of course referring to what God does in our born again spirit when we receive his gifts of salvation and the new birth. But he says one who is an adult child of God in right standing with God will continue to live as a doulos. Doulos is the original word for slave. And this word has to do with someone. It was more than just in physical slavery, servitude, bondage to another human being. This word has rich Bible meaning, and it's talking about someone whose will has been altogether consumed, is being dominated by something or someone else. So he's saying that someone who is in every way a son or a daughter of God will continue to live as a slave as long as he or she is nepios. Nepios is translated in different places in the scriptures in the New Testament as either child or babe. Child or babe. And this word nepios means one who is unenlightened. One who is ignorant or immature, one who is unable to speak on his or her own behalf. So again, technon will live as doulos as long as he or she is nepios. And overcoming nepios is one of the primary purposes for discipleship. And so we've said this, and I'll say it again this morning, a darkened understanding is the number one reason God's children continue to live like slaves. Now, I want to show you this. I had it deeper in my notes, but let me scroll to it. I want to show this to you in a couple of other places. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. Hebrews 5, and we'll begin at verse number 12. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Now here, this word in the original language is the same as the word translated child in other places, but here it's translated babe. And you notice I put in parentheses, nepios. He's talking about not just a newborn infant, but he's talking about someone who is unenlightened. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. And this word full age is sometimes translated mature. It's sometimes translated perfect. The original word here is the word teleos. And what it means is someone who has come full circle. Someone who has come to this state of maturity in their life. And so full age here, and even when it's translated perfect, it doesn't mean that we don't have any more room to grow or develop, but it does mean that someone has reached a place or a position of maturity in the things of God, or we could say has become enlightened. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, we could teach for a long time on this passage. I want to touch on it rather than teach on it, okay? By touch on it, I mean mention it briefly. He's speaking of a group of people in the body of Christ, men and women who have been born again and who have been born again now for some time. How long? Long enough to be teaching other people. Long enough to be helping other people understand. Long enough to be preparing meals for and serving them to, and even when necessary, feeding them to other people in the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about fried chicken and mashed potatoes. I'm talking about explaining to them, breaking down the Word of God for them, presenting to them in an appetizing way so that others can taste and see and benefit from it. But notice, that's not what's happening. Despite their tenure, despite that they have been in a saved state, a born-again state for many, many years, they are still as spiritual babes. Why? Because they are still in and remain in an unenlightened state. So I'm wanting you to see this in different places so that you don't think I'm just cherry picking a verse out of Galatians 4 and trying to create some cottage industry doctrine around it and with it just being a very narrow focus from the Word of God. This is a prevalent problem today, just as it was a prevalent ongoing problem in Paul's day. What's the problem? Men and women born again who have been saved but have not yet come to the knowledge of the truth. Men and women who have been born again and they are children of God. They are the offspring of God. They are just as right before God in the eyes of God. Yes, they will go to heaven when they die. That's the question I almost loathe answering but that's the one that's on the surface in so many people's heads. But because they remain in an unenlightened state, they're living like outsiders even though they're insiders. They're living like people who don't know God even though they are one with God. They're living like people who do not have a covenant with God even though they have an eternal covenant with Him, including all the rights, privileges, blessings, and benefits. Okay? So, they've been saved long enough to be teachers, but they are still nepios. I'll point out one other thing, verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He didn't say they lacked knowledge, that they didn't know, but that they lacked skill. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing for you to take that knowledge and turn it into something to use it to do something with it, in other words. So we're talking about application now. And there are a lot of people who know a lot of things from the Bible in theory only. They know it theoretically, but they do not know it empirically. What's the difference? When you know something theoretically, you have knowledge of it. But when you know it empirically, this is when it's been proven to you beyond any shadow of a doubt because you have walked it out in your life and you have experienced the results that it produces in your life personally. Now, with that said, let's go now to another portion in Ephesians 4. And this is, of course, the portion of scripture leading up to one that we've looked at multiple times beginning at verse 17. But this time I want us to begin in Ephesians 4 and verse number 11. It says this, and he himself gave, let me stop for a moment. The Holy Spirit's kind of prompted me here. If you were not present and have not yet had opportunity to ingest, receive, amen, not just listen to, but receive and hear Matthew's sermon while I was gone and Donald's sermon while I was gone, please do that. They're hccnow.org. They're on Facebook, I think. I know they're definitely on hccnow.org or the podcast. But it is of absolute no coincidence that while I'm in Africa preaching Don't Eat Your Seed, Matt's standing in this pulpit preaching to you Don't Eat Your Seed. While I'm in Africa, you can, John 13:34, love others like, Jesus has loved you, that Donald is standing in this pulpit Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago, Sunday morning, preaching basically very similar from that same passage. And so this is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. This is the Holy Spirit saying things to us. Amen? So, and this was one of the portions of scripture that Brother Donald looked at Sunday 2 weeks ago. And he himself, this is speaking of Jesus, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. And that word perfect there means mature, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, the five ministry offices listed here, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, these are men and women that have been gifted by God in these offices to do what? To equip saints. A saint is an individual born again member of the body of Christ. To equip born again men and women for the work of the ministry. A lot of people try to put a comma after saints, and relegate the sole responsibility for the work of the ministry to the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. The past, my job, that's, I'm not trying to get out of something. Just listen to me, please, okay? But my job is to equip you and others to do the work of the ministry. Amen. Are you following me here? We got to make sure we get the understanding correctly, because a lot of times, again, they think it's number one, equip the saints. Number two, the work of the ministry. Number three, edifying the body of Christ. But that's not how this reads at all. So the pastor, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher have been given to the body of Christ to equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. That word edifying means to build up the body of Christ. And I am here to build you up, not just pump you up, but build you up. Okay. Pumping somebody up. And I'm not saying there's not a place for pumping somebody up. Amen. You know, to motivate somebody, to stir somebody, that sort of thing. But being pumped up has a tendency to fade over time. If you will allow the Holy Spirit to use me and the Word of God through me to build you up, amen, then once you're built up, praise God, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You won't need nearly as much pumping up if you will be built up. Are you hearing me? Okay? Amen. So, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's keep going. Verse 14. That we should no longer be children. Here's that word again. And so I put it in parentheses. It's the word nepios. That we should no longer be unenlightened. He's not, do you see clearly that he's talking about people who are, he called you a saint. He called people who are nepios saints. Sainthood is not about performance. It's about identity. It's about being. It's about who God made you the day he made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. But now he's saying that we're laboring, we're doing all these things so that you should no longer be unenlightened. It's one thing to be born again. It's another thing to be born again and enlightened. It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That we should no longer be children, nepios, unenlightened, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So what Paul experienced and dealt with in his day is the same thing that we're experiencing and dealing with in our day. And if anything, we're dealing with it with more prevalence because of the information age. In other words, it used to be you had to go to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday to hear wrong doctrine. Now you can have it sent to your inbox every morning. Are you following me? So the idea here is that Satan is the father of lies. I'm not trying to water down father of lies, but let me try to, praise God. He disseminates misinformation. It's still a lie. I'm not trying to, you know, make it sound better by changing lie for misinformation, but I'm trying to help you understand what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. One of the things that keeps people in nepios is a steady diet of misinformation about God and about the Word of God, where they're told, you know, one thing about God by one person and another thing about him by somebody else and something completely opposite to the first two by somebody else. Preach life on Sunday morning, death on Sunday night. And it leaves people in a confused state. And this is strategic by our enemy. Satan is the one who's trying to toss you to and fro with every wind of doctrine. What is that, every wind of doctrine? What does that mean? All these different things that just blow through the body of Christ. These crazy ideas and notions about God and who God is and what God's like and what it means to be saved and what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. These things started with the beginning of the church and they continue to this day. And the more nepios we are, the more vulnerable we are to these things. The more nepios we are, the less grounded we are, the less established we are in the things that Father God wants us to be grounded and established in. And so it's trickery of men. The Bible talks about those who deliberately, intentionally handle the Word of God deceitfully, and they do so for selfish gain. And they're out there. They're out there. They used to just have to either go to a church to be exposed to one or catch one on a cable network television or whatever. But now with the internet, they're everywhere. And it is, notice, it's cunning, it's crafty, and it's deceitful, and it's plotting. In other words, it's something that's planned by the devil. But what is our responsibility? To speak the truth in love. There's only one truth. We're going to speak it. We're going to speak it in love. Why? So that we may grow up, not in a few things, not in some things, not in most things, but we are growing up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. So what is he talking about here? Remember what we looked at leading up to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. For those of you who are not here for that, Galatians chapter 3 says we've been baptized into Christ. We have put on Christ. So it's like a child who may slip both of his feet into his father's boots or shoes. And obviously those shoes are too big. John Mark used to do that with me. Now he can wear my shoes. Amen. He has grown up into my boot size, so to speak. And so this is what he's talking about. He's talking about, again, the spiritual growth and development where we are, by speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. If it's not the truth and if it's not spoken in love, then it's not going to enable someone to grow up into Jesus, right? See, what keeps us nepios, what keeps us unenlightened is all the different confusion and praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. One of the things that we've been doing systematically on Wednesday night, and we asked this question and we answered it Wednesday night. Can you lose your salvation? Now, think about, for those of you, and I'm sure people listening to me online right now, whatever, you know, there are so many different opinions about this.
Well, you know, the way I see it, you know, well, the way my mama told me, well, the way they taught it at the church that I grew up in, well, this is what I think. Well, my opinion is, what is that? That is winds of doctrine, trickery of men, cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, tossed to and fro. The devil's worst nightmare is when you and I become confident about our salvation and new birth. The devil's worst nightmare is when we know and are steadfast and immovable, planted in the grace by in which we stand, and when we are very clear and certain, confident to the point of nothing can move me, as Paul said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. When we are certain about what's been done for us, what's been given to us, and who we've become. Amen. Well, the devil never wants you to have that kind of confidence and that kind of certainty. And so what does he do? All kinds of opinions, all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of ideas, and it's all, again, strategic. So what are we doing? We're speaking the truth in love. Because that's the only thing that's going to enable us to grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Remember what he said in Hebrews 5, that those who are still as spiritual babes, those who are still nepios, what do they need? They keep wanting the bottle. Now there's a place for the bottle. Are you with me? There's a place for the bottle. When we're newborn and we don't know, we need simplicity. We need basics. We need fundamentals. And we never outgrow the basics and the fundamentals. But at some point, we've got to change our diet. When it came time for the children of Israel to go to the next level, cross the Jordan River, second generation out of Egypt, it's time to cross the Jordan River. It's time to go take possession of what God gave to Father Abraham all those generations ago. It's time to lay hold. Come on now. It's theirs. By promise, it's theirs because God said it was theirs, but now it's time for it to actually become theirs. It's time for them to move into those houses that they did not build. Amen. And giants live in houses. I heard Bill Winston say this. Are you ready? Giants need big houses to live in. Amen. So these are big houses. Are you with me? Praise God. Big houses. And so it's time to go possess that. And at the same time, dispossess those who currently possess it. And so guess what God did? He changed their diet. They're going from manna to meat and taters. They're going from manna to the best of the promised land. Amen. And so if we're going to go to that next level, we talk a lot about God getting us to a place in life that we can't get to by ourselves, and he only take you as far as your trust in him will allow. Well, our diet has to change. And not just what we're being fed, but how frequently we're partaking. Amen. If we have one good spiritual meal, you know, three times a month, and we're being bombarded with everything from the world, all the misinformation from the world, all the 24-hour news networks from the world, all the podcasts from the world, all the TikTok from the world, all the whatever that stuff is that comes, reels and highlights and Facebook and all. Well, again, are you hearing me? Praise God. Okay, sweet Jesus. Thank you, Father. All right. So we're going to speak the truth in love. We're going to grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, amen. You are an individual member of the body of Christ. So now he says the whole body, not the Baptist body, not the Pentecostal body, not the Methodist body, not the Catholic body, the whole body, the whole body. It's only one body, only one head. Jesus is the head, and every born again believer who believes in Jesus is a member of that body. But notice how disjointed the body is. And it all goes back to differences in understanding. It all goes back to darkened understanding, where one group understands it to mean this, another group understands it to mean that, another group believes this, another group says that. Again, all of that is strategic from the enemy. And what happens is we become very defensive. We become very almost to the point of belligerence, to defend what we believe about something. And we justify ourselves in this, right? Taking up the righteous cause. No, you're being prideful and arrogant, not considering what the Word of God says. Instead, you're clinging to what you were told by somebody who either meant well but was still being manipulated by the enemy to speak lies or what have you. And listen, I know that, you know, obviously, Father desires for this gospel to be preached to the entire world. Father desires, and that's our assignment, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and to make disciples. Amen. But we also know that our time here on earth is about the gathering together of a body that's fit for the head or a bride that's fit for the groom, whichever way you want to look at this. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I want to help you understand verse number 16, but also in light of nepios, in other words, unenlightened. Okay? Now, when he says joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, if you dig into the original language here, he is using the example of an individual member of the body of Christ being joined together with other members of the body of Christ. And what's that song we sang as children? The hip bone's connected to the leg bone and the leg bone's connected to the foot bone. So we see then that there are these connections where the body is joined together and is functioning as one. If you read the prayer that Jesus prayed in John the 17th chapter, given the context of that prayer, given that this is the prayer he's praying just hours before he's going to be crucified and go through all that he's went through. Again, you understand the context, you understand the timing, you understand it adds to the critical urgency of this prayer that he's praying. And one of the main themes throughout that entire prayer is that we would be one as he and his Father are one. Are you hearing me? That we would be one. And he says that so the world may know that Father God sent him and that he is exactly who he said he was, the Son of God, uncreated, eternal Son of God, sent forth from the Father to redeem mankind. So our unity is forever connected to the effectiveness of our purpose and our assignment. So he's praying that we would be one, so that we can then, as one body, go forth and show the world. Amen. And as Brother Donald so masterfully has presented now Sunday and then the Wednesday when I was gone on vacation, he preached connected message to this, is that it's the love that we have that's behind evangelizing this world. It's very, very, very important we understand this. Now, oh, thank you, Jesus. So, Let me try to explain it to you this way. And this is exactly what he's saying. I'm not taking anything out of context or bending it or adding to it. But this is for you to be able to take this ball and run with it. We know that the Holy Spirit is responsible for setting the individual member in the body of Christ where that individual member is destined by God to be located. Amen. Now, that means the specific family of faith that he would position you in. Because we're not just here as a group of random strangers that come to Heritage because it's the closest church to our house, or because we start at a time that's convenient for us and Pastor Mark usually lets us out by 12 so we can get to the restaurant. People decide, listen to me now, don't get me started on this. It is amazing to me the criteria people use when choosing a church. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's among one of the most important, if not the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Amen. The church you choose to attend and the pastor you choose to speak into your life on a regular basis. Amen. It's critically, critically, critically important. Okay. But it's amazing to me the ways, it's almost like flip a coin, you know. When the Lord spoke to my parents that we needed to get to a church that preached and taught and believed and practiced the fullness of God's Spirit, I was very, very comfortable in the church that I was a part of with my friends and my little circle of convenience and comfort. And I threw a fit in a house where you don't throw a fit. And I am easygoing to a hurt, to a fault at times. It's so much so that my mom and dad actually questioned whether or not they were doing the right thing. They's like, man, you know, Mark is so settled in church and he loves going. Are we going to mess him up by uprooting him and carrying him to a place that he clearly does not want to be in? Okay. Thank God I had parents who didn't let children make decisions that children weren't qualified or mature enough or wise enough to make when they're children. Amen. Amen. And so I went kicking and screaming and was speaking in tongues in just a few months. Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen. But it's amazing to me how people make those decisions. Well, you know, they just got better programs at this church. Well, amen. See, that programs are programs. Conveniences are conveniences, all of the stuff. But the question we need to ask is, Father God, where would you by the Holy Spirit? That's why when people, you know, come to this church, we welcome you here. And if you choose to leave this church, we're going to pray for you and bless you to the extent that we can. But I don't try to headlock people and manipulate people into staying here. It's not my place. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And if every person was to show up here next Sunday morning that the Holy Spirit has told to be here, we'd have to start building out the balcony. I know that. Amen. I know that. I know that based upon when somebody passes away and I get called, I hadn't seen them in 3 years, want me to come do the funeral. And I'll go do it. I'll love you and do it. I'm speaking the truth in love now. Praise God. Amen. Let me take this tone out of my voice. Amen. Amen. I help you. People call, man, Pastor Mark, can the church help us with this? Yes, yes, yes. Praise God. So good to hear your voice. Where you been? Amen. But see, the Holy Spirit, now watch this though. The Holy Spirit sets the individual member in the body of Christ where that individual member is supposed to be. So that's like a doctor, let's say the shoulder joint is out of joint, and now the doctor sets the joint. But do you know that there is more to the functionality of a joint in the body than just the bones being, touching one another? Then we have something called connective tissue. Connective tissues are things like ligaments and tendons. This is what knits, K-N-I-T-S, this is what knits the individual member into and with the rest of the body. And you being knitted into the body where the Holy Spirit sets you is dependent upon that individual member willing to offer their supply to the rest of the body. Are you hearing me?
Well, you know, we don't want to get involved, Pastor Mark. We like to go to the lake on Sunday sometimes. And, you know, if we were to actually volunteer to help around the church, then that would create an absence when we're gone. See, again, notice all this stuff. But see, to commit, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Man, I used to get a lot more roar out of the crowd when I would say that. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Coming to church is not serving the Lord. Coming to church is not serving the Lord. And I love all you folks watching online, but you can't serve remotely. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Mark, we'll help out in the remote nursery. Well, see, I don't know. I guess if you got children at home, amen. Are you following me? Oh, sweet Jesus. Holy Spirit snuck up on me. I had no intentions of saying any of this morning, but it's right where we need to be. So let's read it again. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. See, you have something to offer the body of Christ that God has given you to offer the body of Christ. And it's when you take your supply and you bring it to the body of Christ to be a blessing and benefit to the rest of the body of Christ. This is what knits you together. This is what meshes you together with the body of Christ. When you willingly, listen to me, not because somebody manipulates you, not because somebody makes you feel guilty, not because somebody shames you into serving. If y'all hadn't figured this out by now, I'd rather do it myself than have to guilt somebody into doing it. If I got to make somebody feel sorry and for me or you know, play on, you know, your sense of shame to get you to help out around here, I'd rather just work some few more hours every day and do it myself. Now, maybe I'm wrong for that. God help me with all this. But again, you offering your supply, you doing what only you can do. This is what knits you in. See, we've tried to, and this is what the modern church has done. We've offered church membership. Like you join in a country club or something. Right? And the dues, the membership dues are your monthly tithes. And now we're members and we've got a letter in the drawer to prove it and we've got a giving record to prove it. This is what we tried to do to make people feel like they belong to a church. My friend, that is administrative sleight of hand. What makes you feel like you belong is when the Holy Spirit sets you there and then you offer your supply to the rest of the body, and this is what knits your life together with theirs. Amen. This is where fellowship is originates and develops from this position. This is where we know one another. We spend time with one another. We have meals with one another. We visit one another's homes. We cry with one another. We rejoice with one another. We love one another as Christ has loved us, and the world around us sees this and they won't in on that because the world doesn't have that. The world doesn't have it and they can't have it no matter how hard they try apart from Christ. Amen. But now watch this, and just stay with me. I'll finish in just a second. That we should no longer be nepios. See, a darkened understanding is the number one reason God's children continue to live as slaves. A darkened understanding is also the number one reason why so many people are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that blows through. A darkened understanding is the number one reason why people just don't feel connected. You know, I went down there to that church, and this church, whatever church, I hear people say all the time, you know, I just never really found my place there. Well, what did you do to try to find your place there? Are you here or there or anywhere, right? See, we're looking for something from the outside to the inside that can only be experienced from the inside to the outside. Amen. Amen. Let me share this with you, and for the record, we haven't even got to my introduction yet. Can you see that? Yeah, you can see that. Now, some of you are going to be familiar with this drawing. The Holy Spirit spoke some things to me recently, and so this is It's not, we haven't replaced the other version of this, for those of you that are familiar with it, but this is just another way of saying the same thing. And remember, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Now, in one of the original drawings, under spirit, it says the real you, and that's still true. And then in another drawing, underneath soul, it says mind, emotions, and will. That's still true. And then under soma, body, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. It says flesh, body, what, five senses, outward man is how we say that in another version of this drawing. But maybe seeing it a little bit differently will help you connect with it more readily and more deeply, okay? So when we talk about your spirit, this is your nature and your being. One of the things we were talking about on Wednesday evening last was there's a difference between being and doing. And you are not a human doing, you're a human being. So when you became technon, it was your spirit that was born again and became an adult child of God. But then we have your soul, which is your mind, emotions, and will. But let's simplify that, because your soul is your understanding and your perception. Remember, that's how you see things. It's how you see yourself. It's how you see God. It's how you see opportunities. Your understanding. Understanding and knowledge are not the same thing. Remember, the disciples had knowledge of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But the first Easter morning when his tomb was empty, they started screaming, "Who stole his body?" They had knowledge of him many times telling them that he would be raised from the dead, but the Bible says they did not yet understand it. Meaning what? Meaning how they looked at that situation had not changed. They still looked at it through the lens of their past experiences and what have you. So then we come to body. Body is where action takes place, or we could say responding takes place, or as you see, speaking and doing. Speaking and doing. We respond by speaking and doing. Yes? Are you still with me? Okay. Now, from this basic drawing, then, do you understand how someone can, by nature, be a child of God, but still have a darkened understanding, and therefore speak and do like a slave? Okay. Doesn't mean they're not a child of God. Because remember, he said, "Now I say, if the technon is nepios, he'll live like a doulos, even though he's master of all. He's the heir of all." Okay? So do you see why, if you have not been born again, the most important thing for you to do is to receive God's gifts of salvation in the new birth? But if you have been born again, what should we be constantly before the Lord asking him to help us with? Our understanding and perception. This is why Paul never ceased to pray for the churches that God would give to them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened so that they might see with perception. Because he knew that if they could understand and see as things truly are, that then would translate into not just better, but correct and righteous speaking and doing. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Praise God. Are you getting anything out of this? Please don't be offended at me. I love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I want you to be confident in who you are. I want you to understand why things are the way they are, and I want you to be able to clearly see. Because I believe you're here on a Sunday morning, I believe you're watching on a Sunday morning, because you care about your walk with God, you care about fulfilling the purposes and destiny that he has for your life, you care about living the life that he created you to live, you care about following him and trusting him to take you to the place that you can't get to by yourself, okay? But what do we need to focus on? I mean, I could stand up here for the next 7 Sundays in a row and preach on behavior and your doing. You need to do this and you shouldn't do that. You need to do better here and you shouldn't say that, and you should say this instead of saying that, and you shouldn't talk like that, and you shouldn't this and you shouldn't that.
And I could do every bit of that from the Word of God. Okay? But what the Bible is very clear about is our saying and our doing is a reflection of our understanding. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? Right? So I could beat you up. I could build you up. I could encourage you. I could pump you up. All this, you know, week after week, sermon after sermon about right doing, right behaving, right performing. This is what you ought to do. If you're going to call yourself a child of God, you should do this. And if you're going to call yourself a child of God, you should not do that. All of that from the Bible, okay? But notice now, we're putting the focus on a part that is basically being driven by something else. That would be trying to deal with the effect while ignoring the cause. But if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to help us with the cause, guess what's going to change? The saying and the doing, the effect. If you are dealing with, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand or anything like that, but just listen to me. If you're dealing with life-controlling behaviors and dominant negative emotions, all right, then the first thing you need to do is get born again. You say, well, I've already been born again. Okay, then the next thing that you need the Holy Spirit to help you with and the Holy Word of God to help you with is your understanding. Because a new creation, that's nature and being, who still understands like an old creation, will continue to live like an old creation, even though they are a new creation. Amen. Are you seeing this? Okay. Father, thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for the things that you're revealing to us. Thank you for the things that you are helping us to see and understand and perceive, Father, by the Holy Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God. Father, your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It pierces deeply inside of us all the way to the marrow in our bones. Father, your word is living and powerful. And your word is transforming us from the inside to the outside. We've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And now that same word, Father, is bringing our understanding into agreement with your heart for us, your truth for us, the work that you've already accomplished in us, every good thing you've put in us, everything you've given to us, and everything we became the day we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Father, help us understand why it's so, so vitally important that we break free from a darkened understanding. Father, help us with just these simple drawings, Father. Recognize what it is that you're trying to help us with so that we can best cooperate together with you. Father, I ask by the Holy Spirit that you would begin, as only the Holy Spirit can, to convict us, to convince us, to reveal to us areas in our lives where we have believed wrong doctrine, wrong interpretations of your truth, things, Father, that have kept us nepios, that have kept us unenlightened. But, Father, we're breaking free from that with the help of the Holy Spirit and your holy word. Father, I thank you for what you're doing here at Heritage Christian Center. I thank you, Father, for the men and women that you have entrusted into our care here. Father, men and women that you have set here, that you have placed here. And Father, this morning we agree together now because we all recognize, at least those of us who have been a part of this church for a little while, Lord, we recognize that there are many individual members that you have set here that are elsewhere this morning. Father, we call them into their place. We call them, Father, into your highest and best for them, wherever they may be this morning. We thank you again for your love, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives, our family of faith, both here and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tell somebody around you, good things coming. Jesus is Lord. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for hearing and receiving and acting upon what God is speaking to you by faith. We will see you on